Church family, hello Facebook family, Facebook friends, and Facebook viewers online watching wherever you are. Welcome to our Resurrection Sunday broadcast. This is live at Triumph Word Christian Center. I'm Pastor Ed Woodis. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for participating in this broadcast. We welcome you here today. We want to open up with a scripture that's so profound. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is Resurrection Sunday, and this is the day where we celebrate and we rejoice in our Savior's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. So happy Resurrection Sunday to all of you. We'd like you to come on in and join with us and participate with us. Right now we're going to receive the offering, and we'd like you to contact us, and we'd like you to consider it an opportunity and a privilege to give and sow toward the gospel in honor of the resurrection. And so you can give to us with the numbers on your screen. You have them right there in front of you. I believe you can text your gift, put the dollar amount in your text in your phone or device, and text it to 210-941-1605, 210-941-1605. What a great day to give, because this is the day where we celebrate and honor Jesus' resurrection and our Lord's triumph over death, hell, and the grave. Praise the Lord. And so you can give any dollar amount you can. We even have some kids' gifts sometimes, so that's so wonderful. So kids, you can give. If you're watching, you can go ahead and sow as well. And, of course, you can give through our website, www.twc-sa.org/give, and you can give to our website. Now, we'd like you to contact us if you want to connect with us. You can connect with us via email, connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can text us and let us know you're out there, and at 210-941-3322. You can send us a prayer request. You can send us a question. We can, wherever we can help you and be a blessing to you, send us a little note. Let us know how we can be of service to you. And, of course, let us know where you're watching from. So as you're checking in online, viewing from Facebook Live, go ahead and check in and let us know who's watching. Let us know you're online. Let us know. Give us a shout-out. Give us a wave. Let us know. We'd be so glad to see you connect with us on Facebook Live. All right. Now, from the offering we're going to receive today, I want to mention two verses of Scripture out of 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 says, Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week. Now, why is that so significant? Because that's the day we're at right now. It is the day that honors the resurrection. That's why we have church on Sunday. And so it honors the resurrection the first day of the week. So that speaks of every periodical 7 days. So it's this is one element of biblical stewardship, that every week, the first day of the week, we should honor the resurrection. He said, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So we find four keys here to biblical stewardship in its basic form. Number one, it's periodic, first day of the week. Number two, it's personal, everyone. So we'd like everyone to get involved in today's offering. Just let's celebrate and do it as unto the Lord. And we give today in honor of the resurrection of our Lord. As we celebrate the Lord today, let us all give as the Lord puts in our heart. And he says, as the Lord has prospered each one, God has prospered each one of us. So it's proportionate. So it's periodic, it's personal, it's proportionate. In other words, as you've been increased, as you've received income, as you've prospered in the Lord, you give. And then, of course, it is purposeful. So that means you can give purposefully for this cause. And our cause today is that we're going to give in honor of the resurrection. We're going to give in honor of the Lord. So praise God. So if you have your gifts in front of you, just celebrate and thank God. And we're going to pray over your offerings right now. We've already received them here at the church. And we want to receive those offerings and pray a blessing over you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your grace and we ask for your goodness. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to give and for you blessing us with increase or income to give personally and proportionately and purposefully. We purpose in our heart, Father, to be a giver, to be generous. We thank you for the opportunity to practice radical generosity. And we thank you, Father God, for the promise of your word that when we give, it will be given back to us in Luke 6:38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give unto our bosom. And we thank you, Father God, that you told us that when we return our tithe to prove you, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there won't be room enough for us to contain and receive. And we thank you that the devourer is rebuked for our sakes and he will not destroy the fruits of our ground. Father God, that you, according to your word in Philippians 4:19, will supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for this privilege, and we thank you for this honor and this opportunity to give into the kingdom of God here at Triumph Word Christian Center. We thank you, Father God. We give out of a motive of love and faith. We trust you, Lord. We trust you more than our bank account, more than what we see and feel. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a good, good Father and that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. God bless you as you give anytime, anywhere. It goes on all the time. You can text it again, 210-941-1605. Or you can go to our website and give that way. Praise God. And it's safe, easy, and secure for you to do so. So let's prepare our hearts and minds to receive the word. And we ask you to do that as you're doing that. Get your juice, get your water, if you only have water. Get your bread or crackers or something that represents the body. Because at the end, we're going to take communion. We're going to receive communion together as a church family. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to receive your word. Your word is eternal. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. We thank you that the entrance of your word will bring and produce light and give understanding and illumination to our hearts and minds. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will break and destroy every yoke of bondage. And we thank you, Father God, for signs and wonders confirming your word, bringing you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to be continuing in our theme of the blood of Jesus, and we're today in honor of the resurrection, we're going to talk about the power in the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. So we're going to be talking about redemption and resurrection in one sense. And stay with us this week because tomorrow night and Wednesday night we'll be talking more about the blood. And so we're going to become really blood conscious. Amen. Because we're blood blessed, your blood redeemed and washed, and your blood bold. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14, it says to us, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered into the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. So, friends, the whole plan of redemption rests upon with the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord's first order of business, once he was raised from the dead, was to take his own blood and purchase our redemption. As a matter of fact, one account shows in the gospel that when Mary was getting ready to touch him, he said, don't touch me, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. In other words, I haven't gone into the heavenly holy of holies as the high priest yet to offer the blood upon the mercy seat of heaven. That blood was his first order of business after he was raised from the dead, because it purchased our redemption, eternal redemption. Amen. So our redemption is eternal. It's everlasting release. It is permanent deliverance. Permanent deliverance. See, the word redemption means, number one, freedom. And we might ask the question, from what? Freedom from what? Well, number one, it's the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it was written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. And so the curse of the law comprised of three big things. Number one, poverty. Number two, sickness. And number three, eternal death or spiritual death. And then number two, we've been freed from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Now, in Romans 3:23, we're familiar with the scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the phrase or the statement. It goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Justified just means a fancy word that means declared righteous. One person said, it's just as if you've never sinned, just as if I'd never sinned. So you're justified. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or the reconciliation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So the penalty of sin has, we've been freed from that penalty. We don't have to die a sinner's death. We don't have to die and be lost as a sinner. We can be saved. We can be redeemed. We can be restored and reconciled back to God because of his shed blood. It means, thirdly, the control and dominion of Satan and sin has been broken over our lives. See, Colossians 1:13 says we've been delivered from the power. That means the control, dominion, and domination of darkness. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, one translation, the seminary translation, I believe, says that sin shall not lord it over you. Now, sin and Satan are synonymous. In other words, sin shall not dominate you, nor shall Satan no longer dominate you. Somebody say glory to God. You've been freed from sin and Satan's control and domination. The word redemption also includes the removal of guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. So not only redemption means freedom, but it also means, number two, removal of guilt. Man, that guilt is a big deal. Because there's still people feeling guilty about their past, guilty about their pain, guilty about things that have happened to them and the perils that have occurred to their lives in the past. And the stain of sin conscience, many of us that wash clothes, you know there's some stains that you can't get out. Once you put a real bad stain in a white shirt or a certain color pants, and the stain gets in there, and you're trying to get it out, you're trying to remove that stain, and some people are trying to remove that stain from their lives through the works of religion and legalism and those kinds of things. They're trying to earn some sort of removal. This stain is still stinging me. But then that's where we have to look to the cross. Because it removes the guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. And so we don't no longer walk around sin conscious or flesh conscious or unconscious. We are righteousness conscious. Hallelujah. So because of the cross and the resurrection, your sins are not just covered. That's the Old Testament. But they are wiped away and they are completely cleansed. I mean, you're so clean, God can't even find sin if he looks for it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the what? The blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from where? Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their what? Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. See, you're not just forgiven of your sins, friends, but there is a remission of your sins. We just read it, Romans 3:25. Remission equals the cancellation of penalty and the removal of guilt. Now, you got to think about that, friends. You got to remember, the penalty has been canceled. You got all these sins that you did, and the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself, comes and says, look at what you did. Look at what you did. Look at what you didn't do. Look at what you messed up with. Look at all the stains and all the pains of the past that you've made. And remission means he canceled the penalty. Is it that's been canceled because of the cross and because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's hill. Hallelujah. And the removal of that guilt has been taken away from you. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The Passion Translation says it this way, for in the Son our sins have been canceled. In the Son our sins have been canceled. In the Son our sins have been canceled. I don't think you get it this morning. Our sins have been canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Hallelujah. See, the word forgiveness of sins here in the New King James or in the King James is the word that means remission. Now, if you talk to a medical doctor who deals in internal medicine and those kinds of things, infectious disease, they tell you there's two types of remission, particularly those that deal with cancer patients. And there's partial remission, when that means the lump or lymph node, cancerous lymph node, has decreased in size, and it seems like it's going backwards, and they say it's partial remission. And most people get excited about that and say, well, the lump is going down. And some people say, well, I feel better, but really, is it better? Because that thing can come back. But then there's what they call complete remission. That's the other part, or what they call absolute remission. And typically, leukemia patients and other cancer patients will have to have a bone marrow transplant. In other words, they take their blood out, their DNA out, and give them somebody else's. And over the process of time, if they receive that donor's blood 100% typically, within 3 weeks, there's no longer evidence in DNA of their own blood that maybe perhaps had cancer or leukemia cells. It's been totally remitted. They call it absolute, or in a technical way, they call it molecular remission. That means they can't even find the molecules in the cells that the cells that possibly could have cancer or leukemia or something like that in them again. This is this word for remission that you and I embrace when we're talking about the blood of Jesus remitting us. He cleanses us to so deep, and he transforms us so well that you can't even find a trace. A trace of sin. It is complete. It is absolute remission. That means your sins are gone. They've been blotted out completely. Not just covered up with a napkin. They've been blotted out completely. Amplified says, in whom we have redemption because of his sacrifice, resulting in the forgiveness of our sins and the cancellation of sin's penalty. You know, unfortunately, friends, too many Christians try to pay for their own sins when Jesus paid it all. They feel like, I've got to pay the price. I've got to be punished for what I did. Somehow, this is my badge of honor and humility. It's really pride, and it's really legalism, because Jesus paid for all of our sins. There's only one price that could be paid. It was the spotless Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sins of the world. Now let's look at this. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came to earth to redeem sons and daughters of men. Jesus Christ died a criminal's death to buy our freedom from bondage and of sin. He purchased our release at the price of his own blood. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no hope. That's why you can't go to God except but by the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection should be the centerpiece and the central focus of yours and my life. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no purpose or direction for our lives. Just look around. Everywhere we turn, people are stumbling aimlessly and hopelessly through life, especially during this pandemic of COVID-19 and coronavirus crisis. Full despair, overwhelmed with a deep sense of futility, many people have never discovered the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse their sins, to remove their guilt, their shame, their sin consciousness, and give their lives meaning and purpose. Nothing less than the blood of Jesus will suffice. The Bible says that sin has corrupted the entire human race, beginning with Adam and Eve. The only something incorruptible can redeem the corruptible. Only that which is untainted by sin can redeem the sinful. The treasure on earth can fill the bill. No treasure. Our redemption can come only from heaven. This is the point Peter makes by the Holy Spirit when he wrote in 1 Peter 1:17-19. 1 Peter 1:17-9. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to everyone's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear or reverential honor, respect, and awe of God. Knowing that you yourselves were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So, friends, we've been redeemed from an aimless existence by the blood of Jesus. Your life has meaning and purpose because of the blood of his cross. Now you have a destiny calling and a calling destiny on your life. Our redemption came at a great price, a great cost. Our salvation, our right standing with God, was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Even as the voice of Abel's blood cried out to God for justice, when he was killed by his brother Cain over in Genesis, the voice of Jesus' blood cries out to us saying, mercy, mercy, mercy. With that cry, the mercy and blessing of God falls on us. The blood of Jesus covers and cleanses us, and the enemy cannot destroy us. John the Baptist, the forerunner and preparer of the way of Jesus during his time on the earth, said this of Jesus in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. See, Jesus as king is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But as our Savior and as our Redeemer, he is referred to as the Lamb of God. In Revelation 5:6, the Apostle John describes the scene in heaven as he sees a lamb as it had been slain, yet is alive. Now remember, John's in the spirit. But he sees Jesus as a lamb that had been slain, but yet is alive. See, this implies a freshly slain lamb and a, therefore, fresh blood. See, we get to, well, that happened in history, but the cross is still relevant and can be real to you and me today. There's a song that says, it will never lose its power. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. So in the realm of the spirit, his blood still speaks blessings today as it did 2,000 years ago. See, some people think that the cross is just a symbol of history and Jesus did there and we celebrate it once in a while. But you ought to be celebrating and centering your life around the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. When we take communion and receive communion today, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that when we do, as often as we do, we show the Lord's death till he comes. Why do we show the Lord's death? Because his blood was shed when he died. We're saying out loud, God, we're asking for mercy, mercy, mercy. Hallelujah. We're showing forth the death of Jesus, and that means the life of our lives. Praise the Lord. His blood continually speaks for us in the heavenlies, cries out for our families, cries out for our sons and daughters, and cries out for our nation. Jesus' blood cries out for all lost and all lonely souls that they may come and find and know him. The blood that washed the believers and Christ's followers in the early church still washes us today. Now, let me say this as a point of reference. Some people have gotten away from this, but we need to plead the blood today. The blood of Jesus is the counteragent of everything the devil tries to do against us. That's why we said there's power in the cross. There's power in the resurrection. See, applying the blood of Jesus by faith means we crush and conquers the power of sin and Satan in our life. If sin is crawling all over you, you're being tempted and tested to no end by the enemy of your soul, you need to plead the blood. The blood carries away and cures and cleanses the presence of sin that may exist in your life. And it constrains us and it covers us the total cost and the penalty of our sins in our life. We need to be going around pleading the blood. Pleading the blood activates what happened through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. What happened to him on the cross? We're going to talk about it in just a second. It has the power to act against everything Satan tries to throw at us. So you start applying the blood every day. In every area of your life, through the blood, we are delivered and protected from all the schemes of the enemy. Now, let me tell you something really real. The devil doesn't take a day off, neither does his demon cohorts. And so you need to keep the blood applied. You need to be pleading the blood. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We stand covered by the blood of Jesus, and the devil has no grounds for accusing us anymore. The only thing he can accuse you and me of is sin to our Father God in the courtroom of heaven. But if he has no sin hold on you, and he has no personal hold on you, then he has nothing to accuse you of. Amen. Whenever he tries to throw your sinfulness or your failures in your face, you testify and say, the blood of Jesus covers me and has washed away my sins. Now I stand clothed in his righteousness, clean and pure before God, just as if I've never sinned. See, our sin is on the only basis for Satan ever accusing us. Once the sin is removed by the blood of Jesus, the devil loses his hold on our lives. And we can sing that song, sin has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me, for the blood of Jesus has set me free. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands out there with your viewing with us and say hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. See, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus took our sins, our pains, our sicknesses with him to the cross. His blood covered us so that we can live. Jesus Christ is our Lamb. Now, let's talk about seven ways he gave his blood. So let's walk through illustratively through the scriptures and see how Jesus gave his blood. So the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message of blood. So you can't leave out the blood and call it the gospel. Hallelujah. The blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Satan and his demons hate the message of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, because it means their destruction. They quake at the very mention of Jesus' blood. Secular humanists and legalistic religious people also hate the message of the blood. Because to them, the idea of right standing with God or righteousness with God comes through Jesus' blood rather than their own religious performance. What we call performance-based Christianity. Human effort and perfection. It's foolishness and distasteful to them to say, well, the blood? What are you talking about? Because they like to be self-righteous. Hebrews 9:22 says, according to the law, almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, listen up very closely. I'm going to go through these seven ways that Jesus shed his blood. Number one, he sweated drops of blood. In Luke 22, verse 42, it says, and being in agony, he would pray more earnestly. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. In other words, friends, there's a medical term called thrombus that is described when Jesus literally collapsed and fell because of the weight and pressure that was coming upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he began to sweat under the pressure, and his soul was sorrowful even unto death. He said it in the scriptures, and he began to sweat in agony. And that means he was writhing back and forth and in that garden because he had to go to the cross. He had to take on your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. And he had to separate from his Father God for the first time as he went to that torturous symbol, the cross, to build a bridge between heaven and earth. From man's degradation to God's divinity. He had to be the bridge builder, and that was the cross he had to die on. And he sweat great drops of blood. He was resisting sin to the point to where he bled. Because he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Number two, he bled from beatings on his face. He bled from beatings on his face. And when they, Luke 22, verse 64 says, when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? In other words, they were beating him up and he bruising him up. One of the Spanish translations gives the idea that Jesus Christ was almost like hamburger meat. His face was like almost hamburger meat. They swole him up so much, beating him. Now, these were professional torturers that were hitting Jesus. Number three, he bled from having his beard ripped out. Isaiah 50, verse 6 says, I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. And I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. In other words, all these bearded people out there, you know how nice you like your beard. You imagine somebody just pulling hair right off your face. It's brutal. Number four, he bled from a brutal scourging. And Matthew 27 to 26, and then they released Barabbas unto them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he was delivered to be crucified. In other words, that Jesus was flogged across his back. History and scholars tell us that it was a cat of nine tails. That means it was a rope or like a whip with nine strands, and it had pieces of glass, metal, and sharp rocks and objects on it. And they would lacerate Jesus. And it would strap across his back, across his sides, and across sometimes his abdomen, and to the point of almost death. He took 39 stripes. And that by his stripes, we were healed. They would take those little metal objects and glass and nails and stuff, would take chunks of flesh out of Jesus every time they strapped him with that whip. And sometimes it laid his bones right wide open. He was bleeding. Number five, he bled from the crown of thorns crushed in his head. Now they took these big rose thorns, these big old long thorns, bushes, and they platted them. And then in Matthew 27, verse 29, the first part of it says, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. Now, after they beat him, ladies and gentlemen, they put this crown of thorn on his head. And it was, and he was already swollen up and beaten up. And then this crown of thorn was crushed down on him like a king's crown. And it spoke into his skin and began to pour blood. Number six, he bled from the nails driven through the hands and his feet. Luke 23, verse 33, this first part of that verse, it says, when they were come to the place which called Calvary, they crucified him. In other words, they put nails in his hand. And these nails were not like little bitty thumbtack nails. These nails were considered to be like railroad spike type nails, and they were so big that they had to drive him into a good part of his hands, closer toward his wrist or at his wrist, and then he had to hung up there, and then they had to cross his feet and get a nail long enough to nail through both of his feet, where he could barely breathe. He was actually suffocating from the position in which he was hung and crucified on that cross. He was bleeding through his hands. He was bleeding through his feet from the nails. And seventh, he bled from the Roman spear piercing his side. John chapter 19, verse 34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. In other words, he jabbed him right up under the ribs, and water and blood came out. And each time, I believe, just my opinion, that he bled, he was restoring and redeeming a blessing back to us. Because when you look at the blessing of Abraham, it's sevenfold, and Jesus bled seven times. And those sevenfold blessings were being restored back to us on that cross. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:14 says the power of the cross. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world. The Passion Translation, my only boast is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. In him I have been crucified in this natural realm, and the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. Praise the Lord. Now, we're talking about the power of the cross here, And it is said that a wall was built in Jerusalem to protect citizens from the terrorists who are coming into their neighborhoods and killing innocent people. And this wall, they say, is 26 feet high and 33 feet wide in some places. And see, like a wall, that cross has formed a barrier to protect anyone, in our case, in Christ. And we often say, if you're not in Christ, you may be in crisis. It's better to be in Christ, and you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. And so listen to the Isaac Bruce translation when he says this word, Galatians chapter 6:14. Isaac Bruce translation says, but far be it from me to boast about anything except the cross of our head, Jesus Christ. That cross forms a permanent barrier to erect a fence between the world and me, and between me and the world. So friends, you and I win against sin, Satan, sickness, shame, sorrow, because of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, when you declare, I'm crucified with Christ, like Paul did in Galatians 2:20, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In other words, when he went to the cross, I'm there with him. Amen. I'm there with him. And I know him through the power of his cross and the power of his resurrection. Praise God. And so you identify with that. So when you declare your identification with Christ in this way, you free yourself from sin and its power in your life. Some people say, well, I can't help it. I can't stop it. I can't quit it. Well, you're denying the power of the cross and denying the power of the resurrection. See, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord over your life and from a heart of faith, believing that he died for me, that he went to hell and paid the price for me, and that he took my sin and my shame and my sickness and my sorrow, is a powerful and transformational event in your life that should happen on a consistent, regular basis. You should declare, Jesus is Lord over my life. So when he shed his blood, his precious blood, it never loses its power. He paid it all. And because it's eternal life blood, it keeps on cleansing. It keeps on curing. It keeps on carrying away the sin, the shame, the sorrow from your life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, it says, but if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Friends, that's why we have to believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. We'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confesses made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Verse 13, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, delivered, set free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why be ashamed of this good news? Why do people look at the cross and hang down their heads in shame? Some people drive by and they see his cross or a crucifixion, they got to drive by in shame and solemn. We ought to celebrate. We ought to rejoice. We not to have our heads hung down because of the power of the cross. This is where it started. This is the centerpiece. This is the focal point of the gospel. Why be ashamed when we should shout? We should shout, I'm redeemed. Every time we see a cross, I'm redeemed. I'm free. Jesus paid it all for me. I have victory. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Sin has no hold on me. Every time we look at the cross, we ask, sin has no hold on me. There's nothing. Smith Wigglesworth said it. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. And I just pray, there's nothing that has ever occurred in my life. I can't sin bad enough that the blood can't cleanse it. I can't do bad enough where the blood can't cure it and correct it and change it. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cure. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And there was and is power in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. These 3 days, these 3 nights, and the event of the resurrection changed everything. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Amen. That his blood was shed to reconcile the whole world back to himself. And that's what you share with your friends, your family members who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those friends who are lost and perhaps don't know that they're going to a sinner's grave when they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They have to repent and just receive and believe the gospel. Corinthians 15, 1 verses 1 through 8 in the New Living Translation, it says, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, the good news I preached to you before, you welcomed it then and still stand firm in it. Verse 2, it is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Verse 3, I passed on to you that which is most important. Everybody say most important. And which I also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture says. Verse 4, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Verse 7, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Verse 8, last of all, though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. That's the gospel, friends. We got to realize that Jesus' cross was our cross. Romans 4:25 in the New Living Translation, he was handed over to die because of our sins. Why did Jesus have to die? Because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. Romans 5:8, New Living says, but God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, there is power in the cross to save us from the power of sin, to redeem us from the power of Satan's control over us, and 3, to sanctify us from the power of the world and wickedness to contaminate us and to prevent us from being useful to God. Like we said before, walking around with that life aimlessly. See, this day represents our lives have meaning. Our life has purpose. Our life has value. It has a calling and a destiny to it. Because of this event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not walking around aimless. Our lives can be meaningful and useful to God. Fourthly, to deliver us from the power of death, to defeat and destroy and doom us to hell and the lake of fire. P.C. Nelson, a renowned Bible scholar and fluent in 14 different languages, including the Hebrew and Greek, said this about sanctification. Listen to this. Sanctification is the realizing that the believer, by recognizing his identification with Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and faith, and by faith, reckoning daily upon the fact of union with Christ and being offered daily, offering daily every faculty and continually to the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is just a fancy word that means we've been set apart and set aside for an exclusive purpose for God. We've been set apart. And what sets us apart? By our receiving Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. And we've been set aside. We've been set apart exclusively for God. That means we belong to God. And that gives our lives meaning. It gives our life purpose. It makes us useful to God. Because the cross brings sin to an end. The old creation is destroyed, and there is a resurrection provided where there is complete continuation of Christ's victory. In other words, when sin tries to enter into our lives, then you apply and plead the blood. Like we shared earlier, you have to plead the blood, and it puts up that cross like a barrier between you, sin, sickness, shame, whatever, and it has no power to dominate you, to debilitate you, or to devastate you. Now, I'm closing with this scripture in 1 Peter, and I got one more, Colossians. 1 Peter 1 and 1 through 4 says, Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims in the dispersion in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, in Asia, and in Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. See, notice the sanctification of the Spirit that we just talked about, and the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood, they all run together. But he says, grace and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope, not a dead hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ was involved in the resurrection. As we said and alluded to earlier, this first order of business after the resurrection was to take his blood and put it over the heavenly mercy seat to purchase and procure our eternal redemption. See, grace and peace are also multiplied by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. We've also been reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ's shed blood. Listen to this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very clearly. See, the whole sinful world was hostile and at enmity. That's a fancy word. That means opposed, vehemently opposed against God. They were separated by sin. But Jesus built the bridge. Like my pastor says, with three rusty nails and two pieces of wood, he built a bridge called the cross and brought peace through the blood of his cross to bring the hostility to an end and bring us all back to peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Somebody say glory to God. See, people who just merely give respectful nod to Christ's resurrection once a year do not experience his resurrection power on a daily basis. But we can. The resurrection of Christ has the power to provide more than enough. And as I close with this thought, these three big things, what does it provide? Healing for our past. So when we get ready to take the communion elements, whatever's past has been pestering you, been painful to you, there's healing for our past. Because Jesus said, this is my body, when he took the bread, which is broken for you. That means what I'm breaking in my body doesn't have to be remain broken in your body. Hallelujah. So everybody say healing for our past. Number two, it's help for our present. See, people that didn't, like again, people that just gives kind of a, okay, it's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to hear about the cross and resurrection. But you never apply it. You never take in its full import and meaning on a daily basis. You don't get the power of the cross. You don't get the power of the resurrection. But it's help for our present. So when you need to apply and plead the blood, you can still plead the blood because the blood never loses its power. Like Andre Crouch, when he sung that song years ago, he said, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. That means no matter how high you get or how low things get in your life, the blood still reaches. It still works. It never loses its power. It gives me strength from day to day. Number three, it's hope for our future. Because we can say, I'm redeemed. I have been absolutely remitted of sin, Satan, sickness, and I have a bright future. So it's healing for our past, it's help for our present, and it's hope for our future. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you're out there today, friends, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, today, what a great day to do it. I did this, made this decision years ago, 2003, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, was in April the 22nd. That was the day back then, April 22nd, 2003, and I made the choice. I was the only one that day in the church, big old packed church in Arkansas. And I came down the aisle and gave Jesus my heart and life. And I asked him to save me, and he did. He saved me. He washed me clean. I never felt so clean that day. I walked around 10 days, 2 or 3 weeks on cloud nine. I was so free and so clean. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like I was in heaven itself. Hallelujah. But Jesus' blood still works, and he can still cleanse you. He can still wash you clean. He can still make you a new creation in Christ. So simply just humble yourself before the Lord and repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You said you won't cast out those who come to you and ask you for mercy. And in Jesus' name, I come to you. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you my everything. Jesus be my Lord. I repent of sin, I renounce Satan, I am yours, Lord. Take all of me. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, that Father, you raised him from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Jesus is my Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for redeeming me with the precious blood of Jesus. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you pray that prayer and with sincerity and truth, you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, we want you to write to us. Let us know. We want to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday with you. Send us an email to connect@twcc-sa.org. Or perhaps you've gotten away from the Lord and you prayed that prayer and said, I want to get back to God. I want to get back close to God. I don't want to just make Easter and resurrection and just a religious event in my life. I want Jesus to be real and his blood to be powerful and his resurrection power to be at work in my life. And so if you prayed that prayer, if you back to God, send us a little note. Let us know who you are. And we want to send you a free book and to help you continue your walk with the Lord. Send us your address, send us your name and stuff, and we'll just contact you for those reasons and those reasons only. Praise God. And or you can send us a text message at 210-941-3322. Praise God. Now get your bread. Get your crackers and get your juice cup, or if you don't have anything else but water, get your cup of water, and we're going to take communion. And Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he broke it, he gave thanks, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So take the bread and eat it. And remember, you are redeemed. You are healed in Jesus' name. Now we're going to make a confession over the blood. And I want you to say this after me. Because he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. And that this ratifies, establishes, makes valid, activates all the promises of God in your life. It's eternal blood. It symbolizes the eternal blood of Jesus, the blood of God. Say this with me. Say, God is on my side. For the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. And nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I have passed the test. I will get God's best. Now say this with me. Say this with me. Say, the blood of Jesus purges me from every defilement of the enemy. The blood of Jesus keeps and guards my mind day and night. The blood of Jesus prevents deception and aborts every attempt of the enemy to deceive me. The blood of Jesus is my divine covering and protection against all the fiery darts of the evil one. The blood of Jesus is alive, so full of life and grace. It sanctifies me and perfects that which concerns me, reconciling everything in me to the perfect will of God every day and in every way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, socially, and financially. In Jesus' name, I receive the blood. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much. Hallelujah. Now, if you would, just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. And we're going to dismiss, and we want you to just go sing a couple of the blood songs, like the old.